We know that our flesh, our fallen nature, will always side against Jesus. And this trio makes up the war that we fight as Christians, as believers. And the baptism is that statement. I have now sided with Christ against these things. They will continue to side against me. I will continue to fight them. But my allegiance is to Jesus now.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching a special topical message. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, let's join Pastor Rick in the book of Romans chapter 1 as he begins his message, Bravery in Baptism.
Please turn to Paul's letter to the Romans. We return to this letter, verses 14 through 16. The text is verse 16. And so, beginning at verse 14, Romans chapter 1, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. I think the barbarians he refers to in verse 14 are other drivers, just so we have our theology right. Now, the text is supposed to be pointing in the direction of the message, and hopefully the message comes from the Lord. When the Lord wrote to the churches in Revelation, he said, to the messenger, to the pastor, to the one delivering the message. And Romans 1, verse 16, look again with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. Bravery in baptism. I'll start with a question answer, not that you're going to answer. I'll answer the question, and then we'll get to the text. So a little departure from the typical way a topical sermon would begin. What is baptism? Water baptism is what we're talking about. The Christian knows of two baptisms. We know of the baptism in water, and we know of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The water baptism is immersion in water, ideally. There are exceptions. In other words, when a person is baptized in Christ, we like to put them all the way into the water. The exceptions would be maybe someone is ill. Maybe there could, you know, things like that could call for another approach to symbolically proclaim the same thing. Baptism is a defiant statement, among other things. Of course, it speaks of our love for Christ, but it is a defiant statement against the evil trio, the world. Baptism says, we reject your opinions about God, about Christ, unless they come from God in Christ, which would then not make the world the world. The reason why the world is known in Scripture as the world is because they are at odds with the revelation of God through His Word. The baptism is a defiant statement against Satan. We recognize that he is the arch enemy. He is our arch enemy. And then the baptism is a proclamation against our own flesh. We know that our flesh, our fallen nature, will always side against Jesus. And this trio makes up the war that we fight as Christians, as believers. And the baptism is that statement. I have now sided with Christ against these things. They will continue to side against me. I will continue to fight them. But my allegiance is to Jesus now. And Jesus himself did not baptize with water because he immerses in the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4, we read, Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, they baptized. Mark chapter 1, John the baptizer speaking says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's a second experience that a believer can have after their conversion. A lot of churches or Christians don't see it that way, and that's their right to see it that way, but that's not how I understand the Scripture. So what does this all mean, this baptism, making this statement? Well, there are essentially two movements to it and one conclusion. There are two parts leading us to this one structure. There is the immersion, the complete dip into the water, and then there is the immersion, where you emerge from the water. Immersion, that the actual act of being put into the water, symbolizes death. Death to my flesh, my old nature, death to this world. And of course, I am buried out of sight. I am done. That old man is gone. It has everything to do with the cross and the resurrection. Emergence is the symbol of the resurrection. When I come out of the water, it is an emblem of, I believe in the resurrection, and there will come a day when I will receive my resurrected body in Christ. And so we are buried, then we are set free. This is what the baptism preaches. It is a sermon. Paul said about the communion table, when you take this bread and this cup, you proclaim, you preach the Lord's death, which always includes his resurrection and return. And so these two, the immersion into the water and the emergence out of the water, have this conclusion, newness of life, declaring our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. You say, okay, well, where do you base all of, what do you base this on? Romans chapter 6, verse 3, as many of us as are baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. You catch, Paul says, as many of us. He too was baptized. Continues, he does in Romans 6, verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And there you have the immersion into the water, the emergence from the water, and the conclusion is newness of life in Christ. Now the question then comes is water baptism necessary for salvation? Absolutely not. It only announces that I have been saved. And this, of course, you can have imposters. That's why we ask you to meet with the pastors. We want to preserve the integrity of the baptism. And I'll come to some of that in a moment. Romans 3, verses 23 through 28, you can read up on that. I don't want to take away from other time on other points, but there you can follow the justification. Water baptism cannot save. It's just one place. There's several teachings on this and illustrations to go with it. The thief on the cross is a basic one. Jesus said, you know, too bad you didn't get saved before you got crucified with me, because I could have baptized you and you would have been saved. And you can see the absurdity of that. Hopefully you can. Water baptism is secondary to salvation. So much so, Paul said to the Corinthians, you know, that mob that gave him a hard time, not the whole church, but many in there, he said, I am glad I didn't baptize any of you. What a profound statement to say to a congregation of professed Christians, but it needed to be said. So coming back to this, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not the water, but the blood of Jesus is what washes away my sins. Well, then, who gets baptized? Well, of course, the disciples. Jesus said, go into, he commanded the disciples, go into the world, he commanded the apostles, go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And a disciple, you know, that word from the Greek, matheos, was where we get our English word mathematics, and that means that there's some more involved with than just believing. There's learning, there's discipline, there's relearning. Some of you, you keep your devotions up. Well, you know what? Let me give you a little help for some to enhance your Christian performance. Memorize scripture. You know, you can write on an old business cards a scripture verse or something. Just learn to memorize scripture. And you watch the improvement of not only your walk. I'm speaking from experience here, so I would hope that it would also apply to others. If you start learning scripture, memorizing it, doors open for you to share the gospel because you're now equipped. You're armed with the sword. You have something to say, and God will bring the audience to you, those who need to hear it. Well, Romans 10, speaking about who gets baptized, the believer. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that statement, Romans 10 and 9 and 10, is based on the foundation of everything he's been saying since chapter 1. It's about Jesus Christ, understanding that he is Lord and what that means. If someone says Jesus is Lord, and you say, what do you mean by that? Are you under his lordship? Are you ruled by his desire, his will? He gave us an example. Nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but yours. There's more goes into the lordship of Christ than just saying, I believe. There's a doctrine that is necessary. In the book of in Acts, when the church at Antioch was born, and that became the magnificent church in that region of the world, it eclipsed Jerusalem. And those Jewish Christians went up to Antioch, and they began converting other Jews and Gentiles. Then Barnabas goes up, and he begins to exhort them. And Barnabas says, you know, we need some firepower here. He goes to Tarsus, he finds Paul, he brings him back, and Paul, with others, began to teach them. So you have this process that's still in effect. The preaching of the word, the exhortation, and the teaching of the word. And the emphasis became the teaching of the word. You know, the church can be preached to death. You can just, every Sunday, a pastor can go up and just tell you how you get saved. Well, that's not feeding the saved. If we feed the saved, they'll go out and they'll start preaching and start winning souls or contributing to the process of one man plants, another waters, and God causing the increase. If we follow the biblical example, business gets done and you will be attacked. But you are ready for that attack. You're fit for it. Oh, it's going to be miserable, I can tell you that. Look, Christians get burned at the stake. We get burned at the stake in our history. Jesus said, my faithful servant Antipas, who was martyred, my faithful witness that was martyred. He didn't deliver Antipas from being martyred. He just brought him home. Well, the baptism as to who gets baptized, the believer, the disciple of Christ. I don't know if we hear that enough, that I am a disciple of Christ. I've gone beyond just believing and confession, I've gone into development, maturity. Well, that's personal. That's the one that gets baptized, the one who has a personal relationship with Christ. So here's Philip the evangelist, looking to be used by God, available, and God says, I want you to intercept the Ethiopian. I'm getting to the point, so I'm not trying to quote the specifics just yet. And Philip goes and he sees the chariot with the Ethiopian on it, and he pulls up next to him on foot, and he knows that he's reading from Isaiah. And he's reading a section in Isaiah, we know it's Isaiah 53, about the Messiah. And Philip says, you know what, do you even know what you're reading? He doesn't say it in that tone, but that's where it was going. And the Ethiopian was honest enough to say, how could I know without a teacher? A lot of Christians like to learn, they just don't like to be taught. And that's outside the plan of God. He himself have given some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. That's one. That's not pastors and teachers, though that's true. But the pastor is to be a teacher. And he climbs up in the chariot and he begins to expound on the scriptures, open up what that means to him. This is the result. When the Ethiopian says, here is water, what stops me from being baptized? You see, I mean, it was just, who initiated that? The Holy Spirit in the heart of the Ethiopian, based on the teaching of Philip. Philip said, if you believe with your heart, go back to Romans, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Church was on the same page with this doctrine, and we still are. Philip continued, if you believe with your heart, you may. In other words, if you don't believe, you may not. He continued, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There should have been thunder right there. Because behind that statement, it wasn't just, well, I believe he's God's son. There's a network of authoritative teaching built into that. And familiar with Judaism, he would have meant just that, that I understand what I am saying. Christ is the Messiah. Very powerful. So that's who gets baptized. Those who say, write my name down, believer of Jesus Christ, disciple, in spite of my failures and shortcomings, which he'll take care of. Then who does not get baptized? Well, if you don't like somebody. No. We have standards, and they're not whimsical. They're not man-made. Well, those under human influence might not want to get baptized. What do I mean by that? Well, if you have two friends and say, you know what, I'm going to get baptized. Me too. I'll go with you. What pastor do we want to baptize? See, that's wrong. That the integrity is shot at that point. You're getting baptized because your buddy's getting baptized. One reason why we sort of discourage the youth from getting baptized is because we know that, well, if you're going to go, I'll go. And we're not stopping them. I'll come to some of that too. But we don't push it. We want them to know what they believe and why. And we want it to be personal between them and God. We want the youth or the elder alike to say, I believe, what stops me from being baptized? That's what we're looking for. Well, God has not entrusted his leadings to pushy people. And there are pushy people that try to get you to get baptized. My parents are notorious for this. You need to get baptized. You know, they try to, you know, I'll give you $5 or something. I don't know. I don't know what they do. But I know that sometimes they bring them to us and they should not have brought. They should have filtered that out. They should have qualified it. Why do you want to get baptized? Instead of making us the bad guy, when we got to say, you're not ready yet. Oh, but if you insist, we will, because you're not going to be blaming us 20 years from now. I went to that church and they didn't baptize me. No, you're not going to be able to tell that story. So anyway, I mean, we have to defend the church. It is the bride of Christ. Well, parents versus integrity can be an issue. You're not helping the faith of your child. You're hindering it in the flesh if you are the influencer. Now, I'm not talking, you do influence your child with the gospel. You preach, you teach him what it's about. I'm not saying don't teach. But you're not the one to say, you need to go get baptized today. If you want to eat here again, you need to get baptized. As much as you want to see your child, tell God. Tell God, Lord, you know what I'm looking for. And God will say, me too. And what is the rush anyway? Parents that want you christening, some denominations do a christening. At best, christening says, we hope this child gets saved. That's the best it can do. A little infant there can't make a decision. And you have to believe. The Bible is very clear on this. Make that confession. Well, what is the rush? How old was Jesus when he got baptized? He was almost 30. I'm not saying we should wait, to a certain age, but I am saying, clearly the Bible says, don't rush this. Your salvation is one thing. Baptism is secondary to salvation. And so, if they are saved, they will seek God, they will want to be baptized. So my advice to you parents who want your child to get baptized so much, I understand that, I sympathize with that. Trust God, not your ability to influence. Anyway, why be baptized? Who gets baptized? What is baptism? Who should not get baptized? I'm sure there's, other answers to other questions that this may create. Well, why get baptized? Reason number one. It's a commandment. Let's close in prayer. Really? I mean, that's it. You're a believer, you get baptized. It's no like, well, you know, I got to wait for Mars to line up with Jupiter. Again, Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples. It's something, you know, if you've been serving in Christianity a while, you know what stands out for me in that? Make them. Make, it's just like, it's work. It's hard work. It's hard work leading someone to Christ. And if God allows you to also be part of their development, there are boogeymen out there. There are false doctrines. You know, when you lead someone to Christ and they say, oh, you know, someone gave me this book. I thought it was so wonderful. And you look, you don't even look at it. You just turn right to who publishes it. And oftentimes that'll tell you, well, look at that. Watchtower. Trash. So, and new believers don't know that. Because the cults, they are very slick in their presentation of the cult. They withhold certain information from you and spring it on you later. Anyway, as a rule, they do. Why be baptized? Well, you're announcing your passion. The New Testament church did not understand baptism without passion. It wasn't like, oh, okay, it's a commandment, I'll do it. That was not how they approached it. When the Apostle Paul was telling how he came to Christ, he did not leave his baptism out. God sent Ananias to Paul. Paul was blinded by the light of Christ. And Ananias shows up and he says, God is going to send you to people and you're going to suffer for it. And not suffer for it as though you're being punished, but it's going to cost. And then Ananias says this to Paul. And Paul's telling the story. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. He got to it. There was an urgency about it, but it wasn't a push. He asked him the question, you're a believer now. What's the holdup? Now, I'm sure there's other parts of that exchange that are not recorded, but the essentials are here. That water baptism shares outwardly what Jesus Christ has done and is doing and will do inwardly. It's serious business for us. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the faithful martyr, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. You can't say that about somebody unless they're God, or I should put it this way, they're divine. And they're, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that's it. God the Son, he continues, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, that's what takes the sin away. The blood of Jesus Christ, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. But John includes, he loved us. He loves us in the present tense and the future and washed us. First John, we all should know this one. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It would not, when Paul said this is the power of salvation, it would not be if it could not take out all sin, the penalty of all sin. Now, you may be dead to sin, but sin's not dead to you because of that old nature. And you're going to just have to slug it out. So be ready for that. Thin-skinned Christians don't help anything for Christ. All they do is fuss and whine. I would not want to be... Imagine if I were a Christian for 20 years and someone said, have you been baptized? And the answer was no. That's dereliction of duty right there. There's one commandment all Christians can get right, and that's the baptism. The others may be more of a challenge. And so now we come to Romans chapter 1, our text. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Well, just to get the last part of that verse out of the way, essentially for us today, in the context of what he is saying, who are these people, the Jew and the Greek? The Jew represents those with the Bible. The Greek represents the nations at that time, those without the Bible. And nothing has changed.
Thanks for joining us for today's teaching on Cross Reference Radio. This is the radio ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. We trust that what you've heard today has been something to remember. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from this series, go to crossreferenceradio.com. Once more, that's crossreferenceradio.com. We encourage you to subscribe to our podcast, too, so you'll never miss another edition. Just go to your favorite podcast app to subscribe. You can also connect with us through YouTube. We hope you'll tune in again next time as we continue spending time reading God's Word and learning together. Make a note in your calendar to join Pastor Rick again right here on Cross Reference Radio.